Well, amen. Thank you, Ron. Thank you for choir instrumentalists. Thank you so much for leading us to the throne of grace in biblical worship this morning. If you brought your Bible, hope you did, turn with me. Also, we look at several verses, so it's not going to be an expositional approach. We're going to expound on all these verses of Scripture for a few moments this morning, so there will not be one text that we'll be launching from. However, that's not going to be the case in all throughout the series. Today, we begin this brand new series called Promises. I've been thinking about this and praying about this for months, back in the fall when the Lord just started encouraging my heart to work through the process of looking at the promises that He provides for us. And today we're going to talk about God's promise about giving. God's promise about giving. So let's pray and ask God to bless the rest of our time, and we'll get right into the message today. Father God, thank you for this opportunity. Thank you for us being in your room today, Lord, in this building today to worship you in spirit and truth. Thank you for this wonderful music experience that we've had. We pray it blessed your heart today. You're the audience of one. We're the participants of worship here today. And as we worshiped you, Father, we pray that you receive all the praise, all the glory, all the honor. Thank you for the amazing talent that is here at Roswell Street Baptist Church. Father, thank you for them prompting us in worship today. And as we unpack your word today, as we discuss a very important topic today, Father, I pray that you remove any obstacles out of the way from us experiencing you, hearing from you today. We give you all the praise, all the glory, and all the honor. In Jesus' name we pray. And the church said, amen. The Bible tells us that God is a promise-making and a promise-keeping God. He promises all through the Bible to literally every person on planet Earth. He makes promises and He keeps promises. Now God's promises are like a divine insurance policy, so to speak. The insurance policy, when you know what's covered in the insurance policy, you have great comfort. It is well within your soul when you know what's inside your insurance policy. It's troubling, however, when you have an insurance policy and you don't know what's inside it and what it covers, and should you need to activate that promise. The circumstances arise, illness and sickness and accidents, is when we don't know what's covered in the policy. That's when we get a little bit nervous. So when we know, we can relax in that. One of the problems that we have in today's society is that people don't know the promises of God. Therefore, they spend a lot of time worrying. They spend a lot of time wringing their hands, so to speak, in worry because they don't know what God's promises are for them. Today, we begin this series, and I've called it Promises. And each week, we're going to look at a different promise from God's Word. We're going to unpack the Word of God. And we're going to look at promises about wisdom, about power, forgiveness, guidance, salvation, the blessings from heaven. We're going to look at guidance in our personal life, salvation, as I said, success, victory, and many, 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 many more. We're actually going to even look at the Holy Spirit, the promises that the Holy Spirit gives us as well. Now, in my research, and I looked at several different theologians that I trust greatly, there's about 8,125 promises in God's Word. Now, 8,125 promises. There's 7,000 of those 8,100 promises deal with mankind, deal with you and I. So we're going to be here for a bit looking at these promises. We're going to be here for a bit. I thought I'd get an amen out of that, but maybe not. We're going to unpack God's promises. We're going to look at some high-level promises, so to speak. But I want to, as we launch into this, I want to give us three fundamental facts for us to consider today. Number one is God wants you and I to build our life around His promises. He wants us to build our lives and our everyday routines around His promises. Secondly, God makes both unconditional promises and conditional promises. Now, let me clarify that. Unconditional promise is that there are no strings attached to that promise. No matter what you do, when God promises something unconditionally, it's going to happen. For instance, God has made an unconditional promise that at some point in time, the second coming of Jesus Christ will arrive. He's made that promise. That's an unconditional promise. There's nothing that you can do. There's nothing you can stop that from happening. That is an unconditional promise. You can't do anything to speed it up even more. That's an unconditional promise. And so many of us, we don't understand that those kinds of things, there's several of those all through Scripture that are going to happen regardless of anything that we do. Then there's the conditional promises that God has for us. These are promises that are based on mine and your obedience to Scripture, obedience to what He says. When God says do this, then He will do that. It's not automatically ours, but we have to meet some requirements along the way or the circumstances for that condition to be enacted. So God wants us to build our lives on His promises. God makes both unconditional and conditional promises. And thirdly, God's promises are for two basic reasons. Number one is to teach us to trust Him in difficult times. To teach us to trust Him in difficult times. Let me give you a verse of Scripture. Psalms 119 verse 50 says, "When I'm hurting, I can find comfort in your promises." That leads to life. So he teaches us to trust Him during difficult times. Secondly, here's another verse of Scripture. "You are my refuge and shield, and your promises are my only source of hope." Your promises are my only source of hope. So it is when we truly are desperate situations that we need a promise from God to lead us through those difficult times. The second reason that He gives us these promises is to make us more like Himself. You've heard me say this time and time and time again. We are created to be more like Jesus. Notice what 2 Peter chapter 1 verse 4 says. God made these great and marvelous promises so that His nature would become part of us. We were created in His image. We are created to be more like Him. We've talked about this many times. God, His number one goal in our lives is to make us like Jesus, His only Son. The more that we trust God's promises, the more it is going to change our lives. In fact, let me just be blunt honest with you today. We cannot become like Jesus without trusting God's promises. We can't. There's no way. We don't have enough giftedness. We're not talented enough to be more like Jesus without trusting His promises. Now, I want to ask you a question. What do you think that the number one promise that God talks about throughout Scripture? Talks about it more than anything else. Many of you would say, it's faith. He talks about faith. Oh, He talks about salvation. He talks about all of these other different things. Maybe it's patience. Maybe it's love. No, the number one promise God talked about throughout Scripture is generosity. Generosity. He talks more about money than He did anything else in Scripture. First, because God is a generous God and He wants us to become like Him. He wants us to become more generous like He is. So He talks about that. First John chapter 1 verse 16, the Message version says, "We live off His generosity, bounty, gift after gift after gift. Everything that you and I have in this life, God gave to us." You say, wait a minute. I got my education at whatever university or school or high school, whatever it might be. I did that. Well, no, God gave you the intelligence to pursue that and receive that. So everything we have is a gift from God. The second reason God wants us to learn generosity is that because giving is hard. It's very difficult. The reason giving is hard is because it challenges our selfishness. Does it not? It challenges us deeply in ourselves. We are born with a nature to be selfish. We are. And so it challenges that. I don't want to give anything to anybody else. God, I want to spend it all on me and my close family members. Listen to me. Drive this home in your heart. God gives rewards to us learning to be like Him. God is a generous, generous God. So I want to give you this morning, quickly, 9 reasons God promises to us, or rewards that God promises to us, if I learn to become generous with our money. If I learn to be generous. Now, it's hard for me to speak to you about money to a church that is such a generous church. These are reminders that we've got some things coming down the pike that we're going to have to be more generous about. Amen? And so I want to encourage you, and some of this may just nail down in your heart that, man, I am truly trying to walk with the Lord. And some of you may just need to step it up, because we know that this church has always historically been a generous church. I have experienced that since I've been here. Notice your generosity of your church. But let me tell you something. It doesn't just stop, and we don't live back on our laurels, do we? We have to be continuing in our generosity. So if I learn to be generous with my money, the first one is this: God's promises good things will happen to me. God promises that good things will happen to me. Now, based on scripture, let's go at Psalms 112, verse 5 says, good will come to him who is generous. He didn't say bad. He said good things will come to him who is generous. On Proverbs 22, verse 9 says, generous people will be blessed. Can I get an amen to that? Every time that I sense that I raise my generosity, God seems to give it back. God seems to bless me even more. If you want God's blessing in your life, if you want God's goodness in your life, if you want good things to happen to you in your life and in your family's life, give generously. It unlocks the key. God promises good things will happen to me when I am generous. Secondly, God promises my children will be blessed. Now, I have yet to meet one person on planet Earth. Maybe they're out there. I doubt very seriously they're in this room. But I've never met one person on planet Earth that didn't want their children to be blessed. I've just not met one. There's probably some old slug from down in South Mississippi somewhere that just doesn't want his kids to be blessed. But I'm telling you, I've never met them. We all want our children to be blessed, right? Notice Psalms 37, verse 26. The godly are always generous, and their children will be blessed. Their children will be blessed. Now, I want you to know, to take notice here, that when you learn to be generous, when we learn to be givers, when we learn to give away what God gives to us, the blessings not only bless you now, but it also comes into your own life. And God says, not only that, I'm going to pass it down into generations. I'm going to bless it down. I'm going to pay it forward down. Now, you do want your children to be blessed, don't you? We all want our children to be blessed. We want our grandchildren to be blessed. I think because some of the things that I've seen in my own personal life is the reason why my kid and my family has been so blessed, is that God, generationally up above me, older than me, my dad, my grandfather, they were generous and they taught us to be generous, and God continues to bless down through generations. So God promises my children will be blessed. Thirdly, God promises He will bless my work and my business. Now, some of you are retired. You don't have any business to worry about right now. But we all have some form of business. Maybe it's investments or whatever it might be. But God will bless our work and our business if we're generous. Notice what it says, Proverbs chapter 3, verse 9, one of my favorite texts in all of God's Word. Honor the Lord by giving Him the first part of your income. Then your barns will be filled to overflowing, and your vats will overflow with the finest wines. It says, give from the first part of your produce, the first part of your livelihood. We honor God by giving Him the first part of our income. We call that, in church work, it's called a tithe. It's the first part. It's the first fruits of that. You say, Dan, this is so elementary. This is a reminder in 2025 that we just can't sit back. We got to continue to give generously. When we talk about this later on, we're going to talk about the tithe. I want you to notice in this verse, though, the word then, that is the premise. He says, then your barns will be filled with overflowing and your vats overflowing with the finest of wine. Let me put this into culture or the context of culture in when it was written. In biblical days, most everyone were farmers. Just about everybody was farmers, or they were sheep herders, they were herders, or whatever they, but they all farmed. That was their number one business. In Bible times, that's what they said. We found that to be true, that they were all farmers. Almost everyone was that. And when you looked inside a person's barn, walked inside their barn, you saw their vats where they had taken in the wines to make the juice and those kinds of things. And that represents their business. It represents their investment. It represents their livelihood. When God is saying here, what he's saying here is that when you learn to be generous, God says, I will bless your business. When you give, I will overflow your vats with new wine. Oh, my dear friends, we can't outgive God. We can't outgive God. Proverbs chapter 11, verse 25 says these words, a generous man will prosper. He who refreshes others, we will himself be refreshed. So the first promise that we're discussing today is God's promises good things will happen to me. My children will be blessed, and my work and my business will be blessed as well. The fourth one I want us to look at this morning is this. God promises I will be happier. I really had a hard time writing that one. I'm just going to be honest with you. I really had, because there's so many false teachers on television today that are talking about, boy, if you give, you're going to be so happy. Well, to be honest with you, they're not too far off. It's the way they approach that. Like one guy said, if you will sow a seed of this, then you're going to get that. Well, I want to say, well, why don't you just send me that and I'll sow you that seed back, you know? Kind of let's do the reverse giving here, right? God promises that we will be happy. Acts chapter 20, verse 35, the Good News Translation is so beautiful. Listen to what it says. Remember the words of our Lord Jesus himself, who said, there is more happiness in giving than in receiving. Now, gathering here close, I believe there's some of you just like me when I was a child. I didn't like that verse. How many of y'all? Come on, how many of y'all spiritual people out there? Raise your hand and say, I didn't. Thank you, Matt. The only spiritual other person in this room is Matt McCaslin right there, because he raised his hand. I didn't like that verse either. I like to receive. I wasn't crazy about giving, right? I just wasn't really crazy about that. I wanted to get all the gifts, right? I wanted to get all the toys and all those things. But the older I got, the more mature I became in my faith, I realized that maturity comes when we realize that there is more, actually more happiness in giving than it is receiving. I used to watch my dad. I refer to him a lot because he was one of the greatest men I've ever been around in my entire life. He was a giver. He hated at Christmas Day. Remember, we'd give him a gift, and he said, he was always giving and giving. He never wanted anything back, never wanted to receive the gift. You see, when God promises we'll be happy, because it is more blessed to be happy or to give than it is to receive. Your business will be blessed. You'll be happier. Your family will be better. Your family will be blessed. Your children will be blessed. You will be blessed when you give. And so God says, I promise you, the more you give, the happier that you're going to be. Number five, God promises my influence will increase. Again, this is one that I really struggled writing down, because I don't want you to feel like that I've got any influence, which I really don't. But it's amazing what God has allowed this country boy from Alabama to do in this 40 plus years of ministry. Notice what Proverbs chapter 11, verse 24 says. The word of the world of the generous gets larger and larger. The world of the stingy gets smaller and smaller. We want to increase our territory, increase our giving. We want to increase our influence, increase our giving. If you want the world to get larger, you want the world to be populated with the gospel of Jesus Christ, be willing to give. Be generous with your giving. If you want it to be smaller, be stingy. Be stingy. Hold it in tight, and you will see that happen. If you learn to be generous, the Bible says the more generous you are, the larger your world will get. I could give personal testimony in this. I was thinking about in my preparation for this trip coming up. I'm just telling you guys, I'm just not that gifted to do what we've seen happen in Honduras. I'm just not. I'm not, and around the world, I've just been so blessed to be at the right place at the right time and be willing to give it away. And to continue to give it away and watch God. We've planted over 25 churches in 25 years. Now, I've had a small part of that. I didn't plant. I didn't build them. I didn't lay one block or laid some block. I did some, dig some trenches out, did some manual labor in some areas. But I'm talking about I just invested and kept pouring life into those people in Honduras, pouring life into them and watching God increase our territory. Dear friends, let me tell you something. If you want to be known for the church that's making an impact around the world, let's be generous with the resources that God has so richly given to us. God promises our influence will increase. When we become faithful in that, God will give us more. Our Acts 1:8 celebration is coming up. At the end of February, we have a unique opportunity to invest in the influence with the gospel around the globe. We have a guest speaker coming from Brazil. He's our friend is coming to preach the gospel that day. It's going to be an exciting celebration. So be prepared to be faithful with your generosity, not only with your resources, but with your time. Six, God's promises will end up with more. God promises, I will end up with more. Look what Luke chapter 6, verse 38 says. Jesus says, give and you will receive. You will be given much. Pressed down, shaken together, running over. It will spill into your lap. The way you give to others is the way God gives to you. This is part of God's economy here, guys. This is part of his economy. We don't give to get. We don't give to get. I don't ever send a tithe or an offering or give away resources to get something back in return. But let me tell you something. Gather in here close. Every time we give and we extend our gift, we get more back in return. It's amazing how blessed we become. God promises that you and I will end up more. It's like God plays this game with us, doesn't he? You give more and I'll give it back to you. You give more to someone else, I'm going to give more back to you. It's like a game. You can't outgive God. Never. Now I want you to don't miss this. Write this down if you don't have it written in your handout. You can give without loving. But you cannot love without giving. Let that marinate on you just a minute. You can give. It's easy to stroke a check, Andy. Just write a check. We can do that. Swipe that debit card. Go online and hit the button. We can do that. You can do that. You can give without loving. But you can't love. You can't stand up and say, I love Jesus with all my heart, soul, mind, and body without giving. You can't love and say, I love beyond a shadow of doubt the lost of this world without giving. You spell love G-I-V-E. I know there's some English teachers in the room. They're freaking out right now. They'll get over it. We can't love without giving, and we can't give without loving. Oh, my dear friend, give, and it will be given back to you. If you're generous, God will give you more than you can actually handle. Notice this verse of Scripture, Proverbs chapter 11, verse 24. Some people give generously and end up with more, while others don't give what they should, and they end up poor. That rhymes. Notice what it said. Some people give generously and end up with more, while others don't give what they should, and they end up being poor. You determine how much God can bless you back. Proverbs chapter 19, verse 17 says, be generous to the poor is like lending to the Lord and giving, and God will pay you back for what you have done. He is saying that giving is an investment. It is giving to pay forward. When we give to a project at the church, we give to FCA, we give to our sports program, we give to our kids ministry, we give to our youth ministry, we give to the ministries of the church for the global evangelization of the gospel around the world, we are investing in the next generation of what God has in store for us. We may not ever see it on this side of glory, but you give and God will give it back to you. Number seven, God promises to meet all my needs. All of them. Philippians chapter 4, verse 17. Notice what it says. The New Century Version. I love this. Paul said these words. I want you to have the good that comes from giving. My God will use his wonderful riches in Christ Jesus to give you everything you need. The whole reason, dear friends, the whole reason I am teaching this series and the whole reason that I'm teaching specifically this message on giving is because I love you deeply and I want to keep it reminding that out there that we just can't sit back and let it just roll. We've got to continue to press forward till Jesus calls us home. And we got to give our time, we got to give our resources, we got to give our energies for the gospel of Jesus Christ around the world. Proverbs chapter 28 verse 27 says, he who gives to the poor will lack nothing, but he who closes his eyes to their needs will receive curses. Boy, that's straightforward, isn't it? When we close our eyes to the needs of others, we'll be cursed. If you want to lack for nothing in your life, emotionally, physically, spiritually, mentally, then you need to learn to continue to give to the poor and to those that are in deepest of need. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 7 and following says these words, each person should do as he has decided in his heart, not reluctantly out of compulsion, but since God loves a cheerful giver, and God is able to make every grace overflow to you so that in every way, always having everything you need, you may excel in every good works. In other words, my dear friends, nobody can tell you what to give. Nobody should ever tell you what to give. Don't give reluctantly. Don't give begrudgingly. It's your decision to make, but receive the blessings that you give based on what you give. You can't be told what to give. You decide that. We all decide that. What we decide to give in our heart, never give under pressure. But dear friends, people often say, well, I think I'm going to give till it hurts. I'm going to give till it hurts, Pastor. Now, let me just change the thoughts there. I want to give till it feels good. Amen? I'm just going to give till it feels good. We were talking just the other day, Deb and I, about increasing more. We're so blessed, and you know we're not filthy rich by no means. We're not. We're in ministry. We are blessed beyond imagination. But we just want to say, you know, how can we pay it forward? How can we give more? How can we increase what God has so richly given to us? Don't give under pressure, because God loves a cheerful giver. God has not allowed any wiggle room in this, dear friends. For himself, to this promise, he says, if you learn to give generously, generous givers, spontaneously, not out of neglect, not out of being pressured or out of regret, not out of pressure in any way or any compulsion, but cheerfully give. I say this all the time. Let's be hilarious in our giving. Amen. I mean, you just not just cheerful. You can smile and be cheerful. But boy, when you're getting excited about giving, you get plumb giddy about it. Amen? So God said, I want you to be a cheerful giver. Number eight, God promises he will multiply what I give to him. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 6 says, remember this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. Whoever sows generously will also reap generously. God says that if I learn to give like he gives, he will multiply what I give. He will take what I give him and he will multiply it, and it will go even further. Let me just nail that by telling you a story that you all, too many of you all know so familiar. You learned it in Vacation Bible School, or you've seen it, or maybe it's been preached from. You remember the story with a little lad that came to hear Jesus preach, and it was lunchtime, and he had some fish, and he had some loaves, and Jesus took those fish and he loaves, and he fed 5,000 full of bread and fish. One boy's lunch fed over 5,000 people. He took it, he broke it, he blessed it, and he multiplied it. Throughout the scriptures, we see that same story over of the multiplication principle. You share the gospel with someone, you continue to share the gospel, and the seed is planted, and that person comes to faith in Christ, and they get convicted by that and say, I'm going to go share with my friend, and the multiplication takes place. Dear friends, it's not just with money, it's with our service as well. God says these words, I will multiply if you continue to give. He takes a little bit. He takes a little effort. Whatever we give to God, he turns it to whatever we need in our lifetime. Give your time to God. God will give you back more time. By the way, there's only 168 hours in a week. We all have the same. How much are you giving to God? Are you sitting on the loser boy and watching sports? I love watching sports. I loved last night. It was fun, Doug. Real fun. I was nervous, but it was fun. War Eagle. It was fun. I said, oh, that old Doug's crying right now. He'll get over it. Anyway, it was just a ball game. But I love watching that. But I also love giving my time, effort, and energy. God promises he will multiply what I give to him. Give him your time and God will give it back. Give him your money and he will give it back. Notice 2 Corinthians chapter 9 verse 10 and following. Notice these words. Now he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will also supply and increase your store of seed and will enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. Wow. Enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. He will be enriched in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion. And through us, your generosity will result in the thanksgiving to God. Giving is not a debt I owe. It's a seed I sow. And I sow that seed by faith, just taking care of God's business. Now, folks, let me tell you something. God doesn't need our money. He doesn't need my money. He doesn't need your money. He really doesn't. He does not need it. But he says if we will give, we'll see him work. And we'll see him multiply. Why do we give? Well, to teach us to trust him. To become more like him, as I said early in the message. To become more generous. God is not a giving is not a debt I owe. It's a seed that I sow. Ecclesiastes chapter 11 verse 1 says, be generous and one day you will be rewarded. God's not a gambling guy. He's not a gambling God. He has it all strategically worked out. The plan is already laid out. We give and give generously. He gives back because we're going to give back more and watch the multiplication take place. 9, and I finish with this. God's promises my giving is stored up in heaven. It's stored up in heaven. 1 Timothy chapter 6. Use your money to do good and give generously, always being ready to share with others whatever God has given you. By doing this, you will be storing up real treasures for yourselves. It is the only safe investment for eternity. That's big. That's huge. We're storing up in heaven. God promises that when we give, I'm not only actually giving away, that God is actually storing it up in heaven. When we give, we are giving, we are increasing heaven. You say, well, if I give a tithe, that's going to automatically. If you give a tithe, somebody comes to faith in Christ, what are you doing? You're increasing heaven. Oh, my dear friends, what are you storing up In heaven, it says storing up for yourselves. You could store up your treasures for yourselves in the bank account here in the U.S. and get a small amount of return on your investment. Because Jesus mentioned several times over and over and over, you are giving, you are storing up in heaven. I want to suggest to you that this is more important than any retirement account that we have. You say, wait a minute. That's ridiculous, Dan. No, storing it up in lives in eternity is going to live for eternity. Guess what? Your retirement account is going to run out at some point. It's going to run out. You're not going to give you any more. It's done. But you are investing in the kingdom of God, and you're going to see the heavens increase each and every day. It's the best eternal bank account that we could possibly ever invest in, because the one going to the last for trillions upon trillions upon trillions of years, your retirement account will run out eventually. Look at one verse of scripture before we close. Luke chapter 16, verse 9. Jesus says, use your worldly resources to benefit others. Make friends. And then when your possessions are gone, they will welcome you into eternal home. So, dear friends, let me tell you, there's a close to this. Where do we start? What's our starting point? I've always thought, what is our starting point? When you do a message on giving, what is our starting point? Well, my starting point is tithing at least 10%. I'm dumbfounded at the number of churches that have people sitting in the pews that rarely ever give anything. I'm just shocked that God gave them salvation, a gift of eternal life, yet they never invest back into the kingdom work. 10%. I had a guy come to me not long ago and say, well, I can't give 10%. That's cutting into my, I don't know how I'm going to make it. Well, dear friends, if you can't live on 90%, you're never going to live on 100%. Amen? Give 10%. My favorite verse of scripture about giving is Malachi 3. Is it right to rob God? Yet you're robbing me, he says the Lord. But you ask, how are we robbing you? By not returning your tithes and offerings. Bring your whole tithe into the storehouse, that it may be for food in my house. Test me in this. See if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that there will be not enough room for you to store it. Man, that ought to make a Presbyterian shout hallelujah. Not enough room to store it. Then I will prevent the pest from devouring your crops. It is more blessed to give than it is to receive. And the greatest mechanism we have as a New Testament church is giving to the local New Testament church to expand the bandwidth of the gospel of Jesus Christ. He didn't die for the Southern Baptist Convention. He didn't die for the Georgia Baptist Mission Board. He didn't die for Dan Moran Ministries Incorporated. He died for the church of the living God. The greatest investment that we can give and the greatest promise that we have is that bring your tithes unto the storehouse and watch him do the work around the globe. Let's pray. Father God, thank you so much for this day. Thank you for the opportunity to unpack as a reminder to many in this room that their tithes, their offerings, their gifts to kingdom work has been so faithfully given and so beautifully managed. What a great legacy church Roswell Street is. What a great church. What a testimony of how a church gives generously. Father, we got We got a lot of things that have got to take place over the next few months on this campus. These buildings, while they've been so blessed over the years, they're just kind of wearing out. And God, it's going to take resources to build these back up and restore them and repair them and to keep them running so that we can do the work of ministry, to equip the saints, to do the work of ministry, to send people out for gospel presentations around the world. Father, I just pray that you'll continue to bless this congregation. Thank you, Father, that you instructed me to talk about giving before anything else. And Father, let us be found faithful stewards of the resources you've so beautifully given to us. We love you. We praise you. We thank you for what you're about to do in our midst. We give you all the glory in Jesus' name. With heads bowed and eyes closed, if you're viewing us by our live stream, we thank you for being with us today. If you're here today and God has spoken to your heart about being a part of this faith family, we would love to have that conversation with you. Maybe you're here today and you're saying in this room and you say, Dan, I want to be a part of what God is doing here at Roswell Street. I want to be part of the giving process, not just financially, but I want to be part of the giving and going process here at Roswell Street Baptist Church. And if that be the case, we challenge you to be a part. Pastor Johnny and I will be down here at the front to greet you. We'll have encouragers that will pray with you. We would invite you to come and be a part of what God is up to here. Whatever the Lord has spoken to your heart. Maybe you're here today and you've been a member for a long time and you say, you know, the Lord has spoken to my heart about increasing my giving, increasing my tithes, increasing my offering. But not only just that, but increasing my going as well to be a part of ministry here and beyond. As we launch into this 2025 season, I challenge you today to surrender your giving to the Lord Jesus and let him have control of it. And watch him multiply it and give it back in amazing ways. Father God, you know what needs to happen in this room right now. Father, we love you, we praise you, we thank you. As we stand in a moment and sing, Father, during this invitation time, we ask you, Father, to speak to those in the balcony here on the main floor, maybe that are viewing us by our live stream. Speak to their hearts today about making that commitment to be full on givers of the resources that you've so beautifully given to them. We give you all the glory. In Jesus' name we pray.